Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is April 22nd. I'm Steven Masso. As always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, before we begin today's episode, I do have a pretty important announcement. It's one that I kind of hyped up in the last episode, so I finally came through. Guys, I was working on this, endlessly, just long nights, getting headaches from watching so many tutorials and videos. But guys, I finally got the website up for Via the Source. So now you can officially go to viathesource.com and then you can see the podcaster up there. I do have some articles because like I've said before in other episodes, I do like the writing component. I got my degree in communication with the idea of being kind of a reporter or journalist. So I do like writing. I do have some articles up there. If you guys want to go ahead and check those out, feel free to. But I just wanted to let you guys know that that's where a lot of my attention was going recently. So I do apologize for having a delay, but I do think in the long run, it was kind of necessary to make this move and to have some sort of written platform available for me and, you know, for other people on board. If they would like to write for Via the Source, that would be an awesome, opportunity to continue branching out. So just wanted to let you guys know again, viathesource.com now up. Now, today's episode is going to be discussing the draft. Of course, the draft is only a day away. Finally, I have a mock draft, my little first round mock draft. In this one, I'm going to be giving my thoughts. We also have some news in regards to Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, who is surprisingly back in the NFL. That will be discussed. And before we even begin with that, I do have an important note here. For all my Dolphin fans, there is an important note. The Dolphins are hosting a virtual draft party presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Due to the concerns regarding COVID-19, the Miami Dolphins are hosting a virtual draft party on Thursday, April 23rd. Again, tomorrow during the draft. The official Miami Dolphins fan group on Facebook is the guys hosting this one over there, so you can go check it out. By joining this group on Facebook, the members will gain access to exclusive draft content, and that includes interviews with the draft picks, questions and answers with current players, and then live video analysis from the Dolphin analysts. So that is going to be a very good way to get some good quality content. You can go over there again on the Miami Dolphins Facebook group and sign up for their draft party. Just going to be an awesome opportunity to stay on the ball during the draft, you know, during these unprecedented circumstances due to the coronavirus outbreak. So I hope you guys are staying safe. That's a nice little way that you guys could still enjoy the draft despite, you know, it kind of being an irregular situation that we have this year. Now, before we get into my quick little first round mock draft, important news is that Rob Gronkowski, the former Patriots tight end, is now back in the NFL, coming out of retirement to reunite with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. The Patriots held on to his rights and they traded him now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a fourth round pick. The Patriots will also be giving Tampa Bay a seventh round pick to go along with Rob Gronkowski. Now, of course, that's a huge addition. Rob Gronkowski is one of the more elite tight ends. Last we saw, the injury issues, kind of plagued him throughout his whole career and kind of led to it kind of having this ominous, scary feeling towards the end that he shouldn't be playing just because his injuries were really starting to take a toll on him. Well, he decides to kind of put that aside and come back for Tom Brady. It's very odd because he did lose a lot of weight immediately after retiring. So I'm very curious to see what kind of football shape we can expect Rob Gronkowski to be in. As of right now, I do think, of course, this is a solid asset. And I do think this could lead to a trade regarding OJ Howard, which I will discuss after the mock draft. Now, we dive into my 2020 mock draft, and I will say, guys, there's a lot of talent across the board here, and it's, of course, extremely difficult to predict all the trades that will occur, but I did my best to predict some that I could see panning out. Now, we begin with the team that was on the clock, as obvious as it gets to me, and that is Cincinnati Bengals with their first overall pick in the 2020 draft. I have the Bengals going with Joe Burrow. This one, no-brainer here. Burrow's from Ohio, just, you know, down the street from Cincinnati. This was a no-brainer. It would take too much to pry away this pick. I know there were reports that other teams were interested, potentially the Dolphins that have just a ton of draft capital. The Bengals desperately need some sort of star power. They need that guy that has the it factor. Joe Burrow was as cool and calm and collected as they could be in that final season at LSU. Historic season, ice in his veins. The Bengals need some of that, and they get it here with Joe Burrow. Just a no-brainer, easy pick. Now, number two, Chase Young to the Redskins. That one, another kind of no-brainer, just regarded by many as the most talented player in the whole draft. The only difference is he doesn't play the quarterback position. But Chase Young, still viewed as a guy who has Aaron Donald-like potential, a true game wrecker. It is going to be very difficult for a team to pry this pick away from the Redskins. I know there are quite a few teams that need a quarterback. I'm talking about, you know, Tua, who's still right there. I'm talking about Herbert. But I don't think the teams are going to be able to go through the Redskins to get it because Chase Young is that valuable. Now, for the third pick overall in the draft, I have a trade. The Detroit Lions trade their third overall pick to the Miami Dolphins, who then select with the third overall pick quarterback out of Alabama, Tua Tagovailoa. Now, this one, the Dolphins are sitting on a high volume of draft capital, and I just really don't think they play it safe here when it comes to getting their franchise quarterback. I don't think they ripped apart the lineup and they tanked all that year just to kind of sit and wait for a quarterback to fall to them. I think if they see Tua, or if they see Herbert, whoever they think is their guy, but I'm thinking they're leaning with Tua, that they go up and they do whatever it takes to get him. I think they go up here, they get Tua Tagovailoa, a guy who has been reported to be the apple of their eye since he won the national championship. There are a ton of injury issues, but all the reports right now are that there are positive things in regards to the recovery of his hip. There's no denying that he has the it factor. He has one of the higher ceilings, if not the highest ceiling of any player in this draft. It's just too much to pass up on. The Dolphins played it safe when they had Ryan Tannehill for that near decade of just mediocrity. They cannot afford to play it safe here. Even if Tua Tagovailoa comes with the risk, the potential for him to be just a true franchise cornerstone is too much to pass up on. That's why I have him here. Now, Giants, Jedrick Wills. Now, that's who I have at the fourth overall pick. And many have the Giants taking Isaiah Simmons here, which is totally possible. I'm very big on Simmons. But after drafting Daniel Jones last season and then Saquon Barkley the year before that, it's just hard for me to think that they don't want to help those two guys who are cornerstones of that whole team. I think they need to help him out here. They go get a guy like Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle out of Alabama, just a huge asset. I think that is the move they make. And while Isaiah Simmons is incredible, there are a few other good defensive players. I just think they need to continue to invest in guys that help these other two young guys on their team. So with the fifth overall pick, this is now the Detroit Lions who got that pick back from Miami. I have them taking Isaiah Simmons here. Now, many have Okuda going before Simmons, but I just really think the versatility of Simmons just makes him incredibly valuable and makes him too hard to pass up on. We saw what Derwin James was able to accomplish as a rookie, and many say that Simmons is a refined version of Derwin James. So Patricia and his staff need a good season immediately. I think Simmons is a guy that you can plug into your defense. He helps in all facets. I had the Lions taking Simmons here, the linebacker out of Clemson. Now we get to the sixth overall pick. Here we have the Los Angeles Chargers on the clock. And by the way, they just got some very nice new uniforms going back to their kind of 1976, 1973 look with the numbers on the helmet. Very nice. But I have the Chargers at six overall selecting Justin Herbert. The Chargers, of course, moved on from Phillip Rivers in the market for a franchise quarterback. Whether it's them or the Dolphins who make a trade for Tua, that will be the highlight of the draft. I think the Dolphins have more capital to do it. I think the Chargers right now are willing to sit tight just a little bit. Now we get to the seventh overall pick, the Carolina Panthers. This could easily be a spot where they trade out and they, you know, get a few more picks. The Panthers are in a very difficult situation in regards to what direction their team is heading. But, you know, the premier interior defense alignment in this draft, Derrick Brown out of Auburn, that's who I have the Panthers taking here. They could be interested in Herbert if he falls. They need a quarterback right now. I don't know if they are really viewing Bridgewater as the guy. They could go Herbert if he falls. They could go Jordan Love as a bit of a shocker. But I really think they're just going to test it out with Bridgewater. And if they're bad this year, I mean, they're in prime position for a guy like Trevor Lawrence next season. I don't think Tua falls, but if he does, that might be too enticing to pass up. They have young stars on offense like McCaffrey and DJ Moore. So I could see the argument for a quarterback coming in there immediately and helping out the Panthers. Despite all that, Derrick Brown, at the 7th overall pick. Now the Cardinals, they get a gem falling to them. Many people don't have Okuda falling this far, the cornerback out of Ohio State. That's what I have here for the Cardinals. They get really lucky here. The Cardinals desperately needed a wide receiver, and I had them going early for Jerry Jeudy. Well, guess what? They got DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best, if not the best, in the league. That allows them to focus on other positions. They get their heir to Patrick Peterson right here. That is a great addition. I love this pick, and I really do think the way it's shaking up, there is a chance that he could fall right on their laps right there. Now, we move on to the number 9 pick, and we have another trade. I have the Eagles jumping up and making a trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars here, and that is to select Jerry Jeudy. And Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver out of Alabama, is just extremely talented on a pure talent level. He is just one of the top in this whole draft class. It's just a shame that he plays at a position with so much depth and so much talent in this wide receiver class. But Jerry Jeudy, route running elite, just truly one of the best we've seen come out of college. I think the narrative kind of died down since the season ended. But when it comes down to it, I think people are going to realize that they were way too low on Jerry Jeudy. And this draft will remind people that how good scouts truly did view him. The Eagles need a wide receiver very bad. Alshon Jeffrey has been struggling with injuries. DeSean Jackson has been struggling with injuries. Nelson Agholor was Nelson Agholor until he got traded. Arcega Whiteside was not great either. They need a true number one wide receiver. Jerry Jeudy would be just a tremendous move for him here. Now, number 10, I have the Browns taking the tackle out of Georgia, Andrew Thomas. Now, Armando Salguero, the Dolphins beat reporter, has him going in the top 5. So it's really a toss-up between him and guys like Tristan Wirfs or Jedrick Wills as who is the best tackle. There's a lot of debate. The Browns desperately need help at the offensive line. If you looked at Baker Mayfield, as bad as he was last season, a ton of it falls on him. He was running for his life, and I truly did feel bad. I think it was very hard to judge him in that season. They have talent everywhere else on the offense. Just give them some time, and I think some magic could happen in Cleveland. They need an offensive line here. I think they go with Andrew Thomas again out of Georgia. Now we go on to the New York Jets. I have them taking tackle Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa. Now, Tristan Wirfs, like I said before, regarded as one of the best, could be the number one depending on which board you look at. A lot of people have the Jets here going wide receiver, and boy, do they need it. But I do think when it boils down to it, they have to build the trenches. They have to help Sam Darnold here. If they truly do view him as a franchise quarterback, I think that's the direction they have to take. Now we move on to the Oakland Raiders at pick number 12. I have them going CeeDee Lamb. Now, of course, the Raiders are also a team that desperately needs a wide receiver. They had Antonio Brown for a good 5 minutes until they lost him last year. But CeeDee Lamb, a dynamic player on some people's boards, going actually up to number one. But I don't think that I have it in me to knock down Jerry Jeudy. But CeeDee Lamb, a very good case. He has a pretty far gap, I would say, as being the number two receiver. He is really that good. Dynamic, Odell Beckham caliber hands, just terrific, you know, beautiful, spectacular catches. A great addition here if they land CeeDee Lamb. Now, at the 13th pick, a lot of people have the 49ers trading down. All the reports are saying they want to. I don't have that happening here. I have the 49ers selecting Henry Ruggs. Now, of course, Emmanuel Sanders is no longer with the team. He provided a very nice, needed spark for the San Francisco offense. The team is known for their running attack. They have so many very valuable running backs and very effective, and we know how strong the defense is. Why not go and add something to the passing game? Henry Ruggs, true game breaker, a guy that they are saying is like Tyreek Hill, about as fast as they come. I think Henry Ruggs here would be a great addition in San Francisco. Now, to speed it up a little bit, pick 14, I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selecting Louisville tackle Mekhi Becton. Becton was regarded as one of the top. A lot of the reports, and after the combine, people were very high on him, instantly knocking him up to the number one or number two tackle. It kind of died down recently. I think that is correct. I think the Buccaneers are able to land him at pick number 14. The rationale behind it: your quarterback is 43 years old. You need to beef up your offensive line. You're absolutely set at receiver. You are set at tight end. The running back position is so deep that reaching early wouldn't make sense. They need a running back desperately, but they go offensive line here. They get Becton out of Louisville. 15th pick overall, I had the Broncos selecting Justin Jefferson. As I said, the 49ers lost Emmanuel Sanders. Well, before that, the Broncos lost Emmanuel Sanders. This guy provided a good spark for Denver as well. I think Cortland Sutton, though he had a terrific year, you have absolutely no one else on that roster who's going to be catching balls at the receiver position for the Broncos. They need a number two weapon there. Justin Jefferson can be just that. Terrific wide receiver, very consistent, made a great name for himself last season. I am very big on Justin Jefferson. Pick 16. I have the Atlanta Falcons going with a guy that has been tied to them a lot, and a lot of people say they may even trade up to get him. I have him getting him here at 16. That is defensive back out of Florida, CJ Henderson, who is, of course, a very talented back, regarded as a number two with a nice little space in between him and the rest of the pack, but still not close to Okuda, really, but still just one of the best defensive backs available. A great addition here. They lost Desmond Trufant to the Lions. They desperately need defensive backs. Get a great player here at 16. That would be great value. Now we get to the Cowboys. The Cowboys here could easily trade down or could go with an offensive lineman like Cesar Ruiz to fill the gap of Travis Frederick. That would be great. But right now at pick 16, I think this value is too much to pass up on in Kalavon Chaisson, the linebacker out of LSU, who I have him going with here. There have been a great amount of talent at the linebacker position throughout the Cowboys' history. Sean Lee is now getting up there in age. This guy is dynamic. He represents the new age of these undersized linebackers that could play on the edge, could play pretty well if they drop back in coverage. I think this is a great addition here. I think it's just too much value to pass up on. Now, the Dolphins, even though they traded up to pick number 3, they were able to retain number 18 in my mock draft. I have them taking offensive tackle out of the University of Houston. That is Josh Jones. This is a great addition to them. The Dolphins lost Laremy Tunsil. They desperately need help at the offensive line, especially if they're going to be drafting a quarterback who's regarded as injury prone. Now, Jones isn't quite in that top tier of the offensive tackles in this draft, but he is right there on the fringe, making this still a very solid pick, but just not necessarily one of the home runs when it comes to, you know, the top tier of offensive tackles in this draft class. Now, 19, this is kind of a surprise, but just the way the draft has panned out, a talent falling this far, I can't see how it happens, but there's just so many good players. I have the Raiders here getting tackled Javon Kinlaw, which is just, you know, a huge plus for them if they're able to land this. This is about one of the best value picks, I think, so far in my mock draft. But just the way it's been panning out, I see that as a possibility here. Just a great asset, a guy who is a true game wrecker. A lot of people have him going in the top 10, and even some squeezing him in near pick 7 where I had Derek Brown. I have the Raiders selecting him here all the way at pick 19. Now, speed it up a little bit more. I have the Jags picking Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU. The Jags, of course, lost Telvin Smith due to an early retirement, just kind of out of the blue. So they need a linebacker here. They need to rebuild the defense. They need to rebuild, frankly, the whole team. I do expect them to be the number one candidate when it comes to tanking for Trevor Lawrence, so they could still get some valuable assets in this draft. But I have them passing on Jordan Love and going to focus here on the defense. Now, they have the pick following immediately after that at pick 21 via the trade with the Eagles, and I have them selecting Gross Matos out of Penn State. Now, this is another solid addition. I mean, Ngakoue is going through all that mess over there in Jacksonville. With this pick, they're able to kind of solidify at least one side of the field and get them in a prime position for whenever they do get Trevor Lawrence or whoever their franchise quarterback is, that they have at least have a solid foundation in place and they're on the right track to building a good team. Now at pick 22, I had the Vikings selecting defensive back Jeff Gladney. Of course, the Vikings lost Xavier Rhodes, who was a vital component to that defense. We are slowly starting to see this prominent defense for years kind of begin to unravel. Now, Gladney is just outside of that top tier of guys when it comes to Okuda and Henderson, but he is a very, very respectable player, one that a lot of people have very high on their boards. Now, pick 23, I have the Patriots here landing Jordan Love. And this pains me to say it. They are without a long-term quarterback. Jordan Love fits the mold perfectly for him. There's a real chance he doesn't fall this far, but if he does, the Pats may be getting a bargain, getting a late-round pick on Love. He has all the tools to have kind of this near-limitless ceiling, this Patrick Mahomes-esque ceiling, though all the comparisons are saying that. Of course, that is a very intense comparison to make, but the tools are there. Of course, there's the risk that he could be a bust, but with the development that the Patriots have in their system, with all the tools available, I just think this is too much for the Patriots to pass up on. I think if he falls this far, they would be very excited. Now, at pick 24, I have the Saints going with Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of the University of Oklahoma. Now, he is one of the more traditional kind of linebackers. A lot of people have him going way higher than this, and frankly, I do think the Saints may be a team that's interested in trading up for Jordan Love ahead of the Patriots, so that's also a possibility. But for here, I have him taking Kenneth Murray because Jordan Love has already been taken. Now, the Vikings have another pick here at pick 25. I have him going with safety Xavier McKinney out of Alabama. Now, McKinney's been an interesting guy to kind of watch on mock drafts because a lot of people have him going very high as that Dolphins pick at 18, but then a lot of people have him falling into the second round. So I'm very curious to see where he goes. I do think the Vikings continue to kind of solidify this defense and then eventually go for a wide receiver because there's a very deep receiver class in the second round to kind of make up for that loss of Stephon Diggs. But for right now, I think they are very happy taking McKinney towards the tail end of round one. Pick 26. The Dolphins traded that pick away. It landed in the hands of the Detroit Lions. I think they go Christian Fulton here. Very, very respectable choice at defensive back. They get their replacement to Darius Slay, who was for a long time an important part of their defense. At 27, a real chance the Seahawks trade down out of this pick. But for right now, I have them going Cesar Ruiz, the interior offensive lineman out of Michigan. For pick 28, I have the Ravens going Denzel Mims, the wide receiver out of Baylor. Now, Denzel Mims, I have this pick because I do think while Hollywood Brown is, you know, electrifying, he is dynamic, he can break it big over the top, they need another guy who can kind of be a more consistent player for them. They are willing to commit to Lamar Jackson, of course, after that unanimous MVP season. Why not just pour on some weapons and really let him go to work? I think they get Mims here at pick 28. Now, we go to pick 29, the Tennessee Titans. I have them here selecting Zach Bond out of the University of Wisconsin. Now, Zach Bond, the linebacker, I think this is one of the steals of the draft. Like how I said, I had Javon Kinlaw and his value making him one of the best picks there. I think Zach Bond could be another one of those sort of players if he falls this far. Like if the Dolphins don't end up trading that 26 pick, like how I have in this scenario in my mock draft, I would love for them to go out and make a play for him here. I think it makes sense. The guy just lays down the hammer. It seems like every time he hits somebody, he loves contact. He is great at just being explosive and finding ways to get to the quarterback and hitting holes, and he doesn't give up on plays. The guy looks like a true football player. Like he's just out there, you know, having fun playing the game. I love this pick here for the Titans. A lot of mock drafts have him in this region, some in the second round, but this wouldn't surprise me if he's one of those guys that flies up on draft night and a lot of people are like, who is this guy? But he's somebody who I think needs to have a good amount of respect on his name. Now, pick number 30, I have the Packers selecting Jalen Reagor, the wide receiver. Now, he's one of my favorite receivers in the whole draft. He's just outside of that true kind of pack of talent that was taken throughout the first round at wide receiver, but I still think he's an immediate impact kind of player, somebody that you put in the lineup with Aaron Rodgers, and he is already delivering this 2020 season. He's explosive. He plays way bigger than his 5'11 stature. The Packers have Davante Adams who can work that deep to intermediate game, but I do think they need somebody to kind of switch it up, and I think he could be that kind of, you know, that hard-nosed player, that kind of Julian Edelman role for them, but still with the ability to break it big over the top. Now, pick 31, I have the Bucks here trading back, getting into the first round, making a pick trade with the 49ers, and I have the Buccaneers going with Jonathan Taylor, who ends up being the first running back taken off the board. And I'm going to be the only one who has this in their mock drafts. Most mock drafts have J.K. Dobbins as the first running back gone, or if it's not J.K. Dobbins, it's DeAndre Swift out of Georgia. I'm going to be the only one. I do think Jonathan Taylor, it just keeps coming back to my mind that he's going to be the first running back taken off the board. I think his tenure in college was just too impressive. His athleticism's through the roof. I think when you look at his combine and his 40 time and just how athletic the guy is, it's just going to be too much to pass up on. I do think that there's a real chance Jonathan Taylor is the first running back taken in the draft. But as for this pick, even if the Buccaneers don't trade up back into the first round, if they sit in the second round or maybe even after, I'm absolutely certain the Buccaneers are going to get a running back. And it's going to be one of the top tier, one of the higher end running backs in this draft class. And even though Ronald Jones had a solid season last year, he kind of bounced back after that abysmal rookie season, I don't think Tampa Bay was able to entice Tom Brady to come over there to Tampa Bay by showing them Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones, not great in pass protection. That already is going to cut into his snap count with Brady. They need somebody who is dynamic, somebody who could be a true workhorse back. I think Jonathan Taylor fits that mold. Now, for the 32nd pick in the NFL draft, to conclude my mock draft of the first round, I have the Chiefs selecting out of Auburn the defensive back Noah Igbinoghene. I kind of went back and forth. I do think the Chiefs very much would like a running back, but there's a good amount of talent they could find later on in the draft, and I think just by the amount of production and how efficient Damian Williams was as an undrafted player, as somebody they got for cheap, I think that is a testament to just how good of a talent you could find later on in the draft. I think the Chiefs recognize that. So with that being said, I do think they go cornerback here. They definitely need that help in the secondary. If there's any knocks that they could have on the team, it would be that. But when it comes draft night, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade for a defensive back to give up this first round pick. I just wouldn't be surprised if they'd rather have a veteran defensive back from another team. You know, a guy like Xavien Howard, for instance, from the Dolphins. I do think the Chiefs would much rather prefer to have a veteran defensive back while they are very hot right now and continue to make Super Bowl runs. I think they would rather have a veteran, so I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade, actually. But for now, I have them selecting Igbinoghene out of Auburn to wrap up the first round. Now, before we end the episode, guys, I do want to talk about O.J. Howard a little bit. Now, O.J. Howard has an abysmal season last year, just about as bad as it gets. Fantasy owners know too well how bad O.J. Howard was last season. It didn't work in the Bruce Arians offense. I don't think it was all on O.J. Howard. I don't think he was used properly. I think Bruce Arians wanted to use him more like a traditional tight end, but O.J. Howard's athletic enough that he's basically a big wide receiver and he can block well. It's a miracle that you can somehow misuse O.J. Howard, but yet somehow that is what happened last year. But I do think O.J. Howard, with the addition of Rob Gronkowski at Tampa Bay, I mean, maybe they roll out with two and have a dynamic duo. We know how much Tom Brady loves having multiple tight ends who are effective. But if they do indeed go the route of putting him on the trade block, there are several teams that I think could be great additions for O.J. Howard. And you look at teams like the Green Bay Packers, who are right now rolling with Mercedes Lewis. I said it made sense from last year before the trade deadline. It makes even more sense now after losing Jimmy Graham. The Seahawks could have used him, but the Seahawks have a ton of tight ends now with the addition of Greg Olsen too and Hollister. There's a great tight ends over there in the Seahawks that would have made sense last year. But even a team like the Dolphins, I think, could benefit from having a guy like O.J. Howard. You look at O.J. Howard, he's on a very cheap rookie deal. He is in the final season of his rookie contract, and that means that next year, based on how he plays this year, he is going to get potentially a very big contract if he balls out. So all the incentive is there for O.J. Howard to just completely wreck defenses this year. He is playing for very cheap. He is going to want to get a big contract. There is just no reason to expect O.J. Howard to have another down year in my mind. I think that would be a very enticing trade opportunity for a lot of teams if the Buccaneers even decide to trade him away, which I'm not even too sure about at this point. But guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. Make sure to follow the podcast account. That's where I tweet more of the NFL news. That is at Via The Source. And as I said before, I have the website now up. So go ahead and check it out. Tell me what you think. There's a few, you know, little minor kinks that I need to work out. It's not necessarily the best website. I really did put this thing together from scratch, and I'm, you know, no web design expert. I've just been grinding, trying to figure out how to do it. But again, guys, I appreciate all the support. Thank you for tuning in. If you haven't already, leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. Subscribe. I do plan on having more giveaways in the future as we kind of, you know, pass over this coronavirus outbreak. I don't want that to be an issue, you know, with contaminating things and, you know, stuff of that nature. But guys, stay safe. I hope everyone's doing well. And I'm very excited for this draft. I'm very excited for the smoke screens to end. I'm very excited to finally see the direction the Dolphins are planning on heading. I'm tired for the narratives to end. You know, and I've been down on Justin Herbert, but the fact is I will support whatever quarterback the Dolphins select. I do not want any of these, you know, young kids to fail just for my opinion to be right. I could care less if I'm right, if one of these guys proves me wrong and the Dolphins, you know, are successful because of that. I would love to be wrong if that means the Dolphins are playing well. But until next time, guys, I'm Steven Masso. This was Via The Source.